tonight, today. Isaiah chapter number 57. I want you to look at verse number 15 and following. And I want you to notice what the Scripture has to say. In verse 15 of Isaiah 57, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." What a powerful statement.
Amen.
You realize when we come together in the house of God, we're coming into the presence of the high and lofty one.
Amen.
The one who inhabits eternity. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Bible says, "The one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." And notice this, "with him also." With him also. God wants to dwell with you. The one who inhabits eternity, the one that is holy, the one that is high and lifted up. What an awesome privilege for mere mortal man. That God desires to dwell with us. "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of the covetous was I wroth, and I smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on forward in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways. I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off." I'm glad about that. We can have peace even though we're distant from God. And this morning you may seem distant from God. And God may seem far away. But I'm here to tell you this morning, He can draw you to Himself. And you may be struggling in life, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God can give you peace. A peace that passes all understanding, that it might rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. "Peace, peace to him that is afar, that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him." Look at the contrast in verse 20 and 21. God says those that are of a contrite and a humble spirit, those who will seek him, he will heal them, he will help them, he will lead them, he will guide them. Throughout the Scripture it tells us that. He says he'll give them peace. But the contrast is shown in verse 20 and 21. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." There is no peace. You ought to underline that passage. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Oh, those that are of a humble and a contrite heart, God can give them peace. But those who are self-sufficient, those who do not need God, and those who live that wicked life as is described in verse number 20, are like a troubled sea. I want you to look at a couple of the passages with me this morning. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You know, that only comes for the child of God when you are grafted into the true vine. And when you're grafted into the true vine, you can have love, joy, and peace. You know, it's interesting, the first three of the fruit of the Spirit actually typify the three persons of the Godhead. God is love. The very first fruit that is mentioned is love. Jesus Christ brings joy to those who are lost in the way and have no hope in this world. And He can bring joy in our lives. And one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is that of peace. The Bible says that the fruit, it doesn't say the fruits, it says the fruit. In other words, the manifest evidence of the indwelling Spirit of God in the life of the believer is we are going to produce fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, the Bible says. And it says in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look back at the book of Romans, if you would, please. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Look at verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Notice it doesn't say the kingdom of heaven, it says the kingdom of God. There's actually a difference between the two. Kingdom of God, according to Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, is that spiritual kingdom when we enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, say not, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ. He says, but the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, it's spiritual. And those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have entered into that salvation or the kingdom of God. And it says here in verse number 17, for the kingdom of God, in other words, salvation, is not meat and drink. It's not that outward. It is something that is inward. It's righteousness. That righteousness that God grants to you when you enter into that covenant relationship with Him. It is the peace of God that takes over your life and rules your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. It is that joy that the Holy Ghost gives you during trials and temptation. In 1777, a little group of Quakers were meeting in a little rural village. And they're meeting in what they called their meeting house in Easton, New York. Suddenly, as they were worshiping, 13 Indians came and abruptly rushed in. They intended to kill all the worshipers. They had their poisoned arrows pointed and ready to fly. The chief's piercing eyes searched every corner and every nook for weapons. He saw none. And he signaled for his warriors to place their arrows back in their quivers and stack their bows against the wall. The calm blue eyes of Zebulun Hoxie, leader of the meeting, revealed only love and friendship as the Indians quietly sat down around their chief. The worship went on, and the atmosphere was surcharged with the very presence of God. When the worship ended, Hoxie came and shook hands with the chief, who said, Indians come to kill white people. Indians find no guns, no arrows, no knives. White people worship Great Spirit. Great Spirit say to Indian, no, kill them. As the chief and his braves left, he placed a white feather from his arrow over the doorway of the meeting house, a sign of peace between the Indians and the Quakers. A New York historical marker now commemorates this place and this meeting that they had. One of the things that, if you study religion in America, you'll find that the Quakers believed in peace. They were commonly referred to as pacifists. I think that as a nature of the child of God, we should be peace-loving people. But regardless of where you go in the world, it seems like people are in search of peace. I'd like to think about next Wednesday when there'll be a little bit of peace and quiet. And many are seeking peace. But unfortunately, many people are seeking peace in all the wrong places. Some people try to find peace for their soul down in the bottom of a bottle of alcohol. And let me remind you that all of your problems that a person tries to drink away the next morning, they're just going to face you again. Some people try to find peace and contentment in sexual relationships outside of marriage. And may I remind you, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but a whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You say, preacher, those are pretty harsh words. That's just Bible. And we need to understand that God wants to offer us peace. But He offers peace to those who are of a humble and a contrite heart. There are people that are trying to seek peace. In Isaiah chapter number 57, verse number 21, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. The wicked are described as a sea that is driven with a wind and whose mire casts up dirt and mire, the waves do. I drove by yesterday on visitation. We come down Lakeshore Drive, and they said that the waves out on the lake during this past storm was just tremendous. Over 20-foot waves. Some places, Lake Erie is only 20 foot. And they had waves that was 20 foot tall out on Lake Erie. They showed pictures of Miller Ferry out there and the waves crashing into that concrete pier. Waves shooting way up in the air. And as I drove by, and as Brother John and I drove by, Brother John made a statement. He says, boy, that sure is all stirred up. A lot of times you drive by on a nice day and the sun's shining, the sky's blue. Actually, Lake Erie doesn't look like a milkshake anymore. It used to, but it actually looks pretty nice. But boy, it didn't yesterday. It was all stirred up. It was a result of a time of peacelessness on the lake. That's what happens to a person's lives when all of a sudden the storms start blowing. And unless Jesus Christ calms and whispers, peace be still in our lives, listen, our lives are going to be all stirred up, all messed up. May I remind you that sin never brings peace and happiness. It always brings disappointment and sorrow and regret and judgment. Some seek peace through religion. And may I remind you today that religion will never bring you peace in your life. Religion will only bring bondage. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're saying that. It's the truth. Religion will only offer bondage and oppression and suffering. And religion is the cause of most wars around the world. And if you study, you say, well, preacher, you shouldn't be saying that. You're a pastor. It is the truth. But may I remind you, biblical Christianity has never started a war. Biblical Christianity has always offered reconciliation. Always offered a hand of peace to those who are enemies. You study the Spanish Inquisitions and you study the Great Crusades, it was all about religious dominance. Those who were superior as far as their religion were trying to exercise their control over those who did not know or those who were inferior in order to try to bring them into captivity and bondage of those religions. Those religions have nothing to do with biblical Christianity. True Christianity, as I said, was never a cause of any wars, but it always offered peace and it always offered contentment. And many ask me today, seeing what's going on with Israel and what's going on around the world and what's happened over in Libya, they say, "Preacher, is there ever going to be any peace in our world?" You know, after World War I, they decided, well, you know what, we're going to go ahead and start the League of Nations and we're going to try to make sure that there's never a war. And World War I was described as the war to end all wars. That didn't happen. The League of Nations was founded in order to stop wars, and later the United Nations came into being and they said, well, you know what, we're going to stop all wars. And since the United Nations came into being, there's been over 75 wars around the world. You know what that tells me? Mankind cannot bring peace into this world. And we're not going to have peace in this world. You say, well, what's going to happen over in the Middle East? There's going to be wars and rumors of wars until the Prince of Peace shows up. The Bible states a lot about peace. Jesus desires for you and I to have peace in our life. And may I make this suggestion to you? Listen, life is too short and life is too fragile to be in constant turmoil. God desires for me and He desires for you to have peace and contentment in your life. But it is not going to come through religion. And it's not going to come through politics. It's not going to come through Washington, D.C. It's not going to come through some type of spiritual exercise that we come in to do for ourselves. It is going to come because the Prince of Peace has showed up in our lives and we as God's people will go ahead and find rest and contentment in the hollow of His hand. In John chapter 14, verse number 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In John 16, 33, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let me give you a definition of what peace is. Peace is the tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation through Christ and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. I think that's a pretty good definition of what peace is. Peace is a tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation through Christ and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. Peace also is that calm in the midst of the storms of life, which is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit producing a supernatural calm. With that in mind, let me ask this question. Do you really have God's peace in your life? Or are you struggling? Are you looking at other means and other motives in order to try to get that peace taken care of? I want you to notice some things about peace. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter number 8 and verse number 19 that the redeemed are to love peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, "Fast the fourth month, and fast of the fifth month, and fast of the seventh, and fast of the tenth, shall be the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace." God's people are to love truth, and we are to love peace. There are some Christians, they think it's their God-given gift just to stir up trouble. That is not the intent for God's people, amen? God has called us to be a people filled with the peace of God that rules down inside of our heart. The redeemed are to love peace. The saved are to, we are to seek peace. Psalm 34, verse number 14, it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, it says in verse 14, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't be troubled because of problems in your life. Don't retaliate. We are to seek peace. The Savior to follow peace. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We are to pursue that peace in our life. We are to cultivate that peace in our life. Psalm 120, verse number 7 says, I am for peace, but when they speak, they are for war. We ought to cultivate peace. You know, the Bible says we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are to pray for peace. We are to live in peace. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 11, it tells us this. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. We need to live in peace. Listen, there is way too much turmoil. Not just in the world. There's turmoil in Christians' homes. With bickering and fighting and arguing and contentions. It never should take place. Many times parents wonder why Christian children, when they get of age, they leave. They never come back. Maybe when they come home, they should see a home as a safe haven. A home that is filled with the love of God and peace. And many times Christians come home and they see moms and dads bickering and fighting, and they see complaining and griping and all of the negatives they see, and they say, you know what, this is what Christianity is all about. I don't want anything to do with it. And as a child of God, we should listen. We're to love peace. We're to seek peace. We're to follow peace. We're to cultivate peace. We're to live in peace. And the saved are to endeavor to have peace with all men. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That means even the people that don't like us, we're supposed to live peaceably with them. Now, with all of that said, I believe that God's people ought to be people of peace. Now, I don't think that we ought to sacrifice that which is right. And I don't think that we ought to compromise the truth for the sake of peace. But we should not be always looking for a fight. We ought to always be looking to walk with the Lord. And this morning, I want to just share with you, just real briefly, seven things about peace. Hope you'll write them down. It'll be a help to you. How can I have peace? How can I have peace in a peaceless world? Whether it's individually or nationally, we live in a world that's filled full of turmoil and chaos. We all know that. But as a child of God, how can I have peace in my life? How can I have the peace of God rule my life? Number one, mark it down, receive the Prince of Life. Receive the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6 and 7, the Bible tells us, turn there real quickly. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You want to have the peace of God in your life? You receive the Prince of Peace into your life. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Listen, he is our peace. He tore down that middle wall of partition, talking about that veil in the temple, that which separated common man from the holy place of God. And now we can be reconciled unto God, all because of Jesus Christ. He is our peace. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are we enemies and no longer are we aliens, but we are now have peace with God. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20, it says, And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. Listen, we sung that song, Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son. Today, we ought to have peace in our life. If the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life, peace is only made possible by the blood of Christ. We should never minimize it. And I've heard people say, you know, oh, I want to get away from that old blood and guts religion and talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and how it was shed upon the cross. You know, why can't we just talk about the love of God and all that? Listen, it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And we should never minimize what the cross of Christ did for us and what He did for us upon the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary. So number one, receive the Prince of Peace. Number two, peace is experienced by those who stay focused on the Lord. Peace is experienced by those who stay focused on the Lord. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How many of you would like to have that perfect peace of God in your life? Amen? Like to have that? I would. And this is how. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth also in thee. You want to have the peace of God in your life when all of a sudden the storms of life come raging and all of a sudden you don't know what to do. When there is more money than there is month. When all of a sudden those who you thought were friends were turning against you. You need to go ahead and keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Too many times we, like Peter, we start focusing on the waves. We start focusing on the wind. And we start sinking. The only thing that helped Peter was he kept his eyes on the Lord. And he called out to God for help. You want peace in a peaceless world? Number two, stay focused on the Lord. Number three, we need to understand this. Peace is experienced by those who love the law of God. Those who love the law of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 165, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You ever have somebody come up and say, You know what? You really made me mad. You know what they're saying? In essence, they're saying they've quit focusing on God and now all of a sudden they're focusing on themselves. Because the Bible says, Great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. I want you to notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 2, it says, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that peace is experienced by those who love the law. We need to end up, what the child of God needs to do, we need to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't fall in love with all the do's and don'ts of Christianity. All of those things will fall into place if we just love the Lord. Amen? It's not about how long or how short or how much or how little. But you know what will happen? When we draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto us. And He will change us and He will mold us. As a master potter works on a wheel, He will mold us. And from time to time, He'll say, you know what, I really don't like that pot. I'm going to remake it. He'll reach in there and He'll grab something and He'll throw it away. I remember when I was a high school student, and I used to love art class, and one of the things I used to really love was the pottery portion of our art class. And I remember there was a time when we went, and the students went down to Bascom, Ohio, and there they ended up got into this old red clay, and they dug the clay out of the ground, put it in burlap bags, took it back to the school, and some of the students, it was our job to knead the clay. And I had this big piece of concrete with a canvas stretched over it and a guitar wire, E string, real fine string. Take that mud, slice it, hold it open, pull the little bits of grain and gravel out of it. And the art teacher told me, he said, listen, you got to get every little pebble out of that clay. And I remember working on the wheel, and we had kneaded that and worked it out and kneaded it until we thought all the clay was stone-free and pebble-free. I remember that we fired the pots that we made, beautiful red clay pots, terracotta pots. And we were there, and you could hear the kiln in the background just burning bright. And all of a sudden there was crack. And my art teacher stood up. He said, somebody did not get all the stones out of their clay. He turned the furnace off, waited for it to cool down, and he brought those pieces of pottery out. And there was this nice red terracotta vessel there that had a hole about this big around that blew out of the side. He says, and by the way, when that happened, every other piece in that kiln was destroyed. And it was all because there was a little bit of imperfection that was left. And that little imperfection destroyed the rest of the things that was under fire. You know, God will go ahead and He will take those little imperfections and He takes them out of our life for a reason. Because He knows that when all of a sudden we are tested by the fires of life, if those imperfections are not removed, it's going to ruin you and it'll ruin everybody else around you. It is so important that we allow God to be the master potter and work on us and be willing to say, Lord, here I am. You remove any imperfections that You want out of my life. You see, peace is experienced by those who love the law of God, not just the do's and the don'ts. And then peace is experienced, number four, by those who are obedient to God. In Leviticus chapter number 26 and verse number 3, it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, and it says in verse number 6 then, and I will give peace in the land. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid you of the evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall any sword go through your land. I really believe that if we want to have the peace of God in our country and in our homes, we need to go ahead and be obedient to God. In Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 9, and those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, there's many times we don't have peace in our life because as a child of God, what happens? We hear what God wants for us, but then we say, you know what? I'm just not ready for that in my life. I'm going to do my own thing. And then we have trouble and we have difficulty. We want to have peace. Peace is experienced by those who are obedient to God. Number five, Peace is experienced by those who are spiritually minded. What is it that your mind feeds on? You want to have peace in your life? The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As a child of God, I need to focus on that which is good and that which is right and that which is pure and that which has virtue, according to Philippians 4:8. You see, peace is experienced by those who are spiritually minded. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you, the next verse says. So we need to stay focused on the right things. Stay spiritually minded. And then number 6, I want you to notice this. Peace is experienced by the returning backslider. And reconcile and reconciliation with his brother. That's what Isaiah was talking about. That first passage of Scripture that I read, he is pleading with Israel. He is saying, come back to me. This is before the great exile when they were hauled off to Babylon. This is before they were taken captive. And they were saying, hey, come back. The Lord is saying, come back to me, return unto me. I'll heal you. I'll cleanse you. He says, I have seen his ways. I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I will create the fruit of his lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. He says, the Lord says, look, this is all the things I'm going to do if you just return to me. This is what he told Israel. This is what he is offering us today. And those that are away from God, he is saying, if you'll just return to me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you contentment of life. Peace, peace, and I will heal them. And then, I want to just share with you the last thing today. Peace is experienced by those who put their trust in the Lord. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, peace is experienced by those who put their trust in the Lord. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What type of care? What type of burden, what type of anxiety are you carrying around today? If you'll take those things and you'll put it at the foot of the cross, listen to me, God will give you peace. You may be facing some difficulties in your life. You don't know how you're going to get through it. I'll guarantee you, if you will give it to the Lord in turn will give you peace. And He will give you strength and understanding and guidance to help you bear that burden. Right. Or remove it altogether. Right. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, the Apostle Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be content, Lord. I'm going to be content with my job. I'm going to be content with my family. I'm going to be content with whatever you give me. Because, Lord, you know best. You say, but yeah, but there's some bad things that's happened in my life. Then you go ahead and be content with where God places you. Maybe there's a wonderful experience that God's going to go ahead and give to you because He's allowed a bad experience to come into your life. I'm here to tell you, we can have peace in a world that knows not peace. We can have peace in a peaceless world. But it starts with knowing the Prince of Peace. Knowing Him. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, if you've never trusted Christ, you need to come to Him. And you need to say, Lord, I'm lost. I'm undone. And Lord, I need You as my Savior. Save my soul. And those of you that are away from God, He will bring you nigh to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads, please.